Dear friends in Christ Jesus, who is our source of wisdom with God, our Heavenly Father. Our VBS series this week was about the book of Proverbs. Proverbs was written primarily by King Solomon. By definition, a proverb is a wise saying. It is structured in such a way as to impart simple, practical wisdom in a very short way. In this way, Proverbs are often very easy to understand, but they relate back to a bigger, more complicated spiritual truth. Proverbs are not uncommon in almost every religion of the world. Every religion will have its own wisdom to impart in different ways, and they all have their own proverbs in different ways. But the difference with the book of Proverbs in the Bible, the difference with Proverbs in a Christian way, is that it imparts godly wisdom. The wisdom that it talks about is always structured in view of faith in Jesus. Proverbs in the Bible is also uniquely suited for children. As Solomon writes these wisdom sayings, he directs the emphasis and the focus to his son. That was the original audience. Solomon's goal was to impart wisdom to the next generation. The beginning chapter of Proverbs also talks about this. It says in verses 3 and 4, "To receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth." It's clear that as we seek to grow in our wisdom by faith, the book of Proverbs is essential. And throughout our VBS week, we studied five proverbs, each directed at an aspect of our lives and each that focuses on part of the way that we express our faith. Most often, the connection was looking at a part of the body. And in addition to these proverbs that we studied, we paired them with Bible stories that talk about individuals who went through the same thing. Individuals that learned about the same godly wisdom in different ways. So as the basis of our message this morning, we'll summarize these five proverbs. The first of which is Proverbs 19, verse 20. "Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days." Our VBS week began with a lesson about our ears and listening to God. And it's interesting that our week began this way because really, that's how faith begins as well. In the case of Proverbs here, this proverb in chapter 19, verse 20, is talking primarily about parental instruction. So to the youth, listen to those who are in charge of you. Listen to your parents. Listen to your role models. Listen to your mentors, maybe pastors or teachers. There is wisdom to impart. But the most important hearing and listening that can be done in our lives is listening to the Word of God. Romans 10:17 tells us, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." 2 Timothy 3:15 tells us, "From childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Even from the earliest age, even before VBS years, the Holy Scriptures can impart the wisdom of salvation to us by introducing us to Jesus our Savior. This thought is similar to what we studied last weekend when we looked at Lydia's faith. Do you remember what we brought out that was special and unique about Lydia's faith and the way that she expressed that faith? She paid attention to what Paul taught. She listened to the Word of God when it was presented to her. The week before last, we studied the parable of the treasure hidden in a field, the parable of the pearl of great price. The treasure of the gospel is the unique gift and blessing from God that we find, and when we hear it, it is different than any other message of the world. When we looked at those parables 2 weeks ago, we looked at a passage that Paul wrote to the Philippians, Lydia's congregation, where he said, "I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's what Paul said was the highest treasure, wisdom and knowledge of salvation in Jesus Christ. The wisdom of faith is our greatest gift. It's our greatest treasure. And God gives it to us when we listen to His word. Therefore, to have this wisdom, to be able to exercise this wisdom in our lives, we need to listen. For our children to have this wisdom, for the next generation to have this wisdom, we need to teach them how to listen to the Word of God. This is a great challenge in our day and age when there are infinite number of distractions that keep us from listening to things. VBS Week is always a great reminder of this challenge as we are tasked as a staff of trying to captivate a child's attention for 2.5 hours each day. From lesson to craft to recess to music, the challenge before the staff is always, how do I keep the child engaged? How do I keep the child from running outside of the building or separating from their group or laying down on the ground and kicking their legs in the air? To impart godly wisdom, we need to not just listen ourselves, but we need to teach our children how to listen. Our worship structure on Sundays here at church is another reminder of why we prioritize listening to God's word. Our worship is purposefully not stimulating in a physical or emotional way. It's not entertainment. We don't make the front of our service look like a movie theater. We don't stimulate and captivate people's attention by trying to draw or play on what's going to be entertaining to them. What we're doing here at church is we're trying to create an atmosphere for listening. We're trying to create an atmosphere for quiet and deep contemplation on the truths of God's word so that that can be focused on, so that godly wisdom in Christ may be gained. But we know that in our society, in our world today, the art of listening is so rare that we even see that reflected in Christian worship today, where the focus and attention is more on keeping someone's attention physically, or maybe emotionally, rather than focusing on the word that is presented. It's difficult to listen. It's difficult to learn that skill. It's difficult to keep practicing it in our lives. Even though I'm the pastor and I have the privilege of standing up here and preaching to you, I know how challenging it is on Sundays to sit and listen. I know that the message is not always as captivating as we may like, but the focus is not on any of that. It's on the Word of God presented. Notice what Solomon said in another book of wisdom sayings in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 5. He said, "Guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know they are doing evil. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring a matter before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." It's statements like this in the Bible why we call our service the service of the Word. It's not that we're not worshiping. It's not that we're not praising or thanking God. But our deliberate focus and attempt in our worship service is to let our words be few and let God's Word be spoken to us, that we may gain wisdom, that we may learn to listen and to hear. Day 2 of Vacation Bible School moved on from the ears to the heart as we considered Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths." This is probably the most well-known passage in the book of Proverbs, and with good reason. There's certainly practical advice here, but it's also godly wisdom. It shows us right here in 2 verses of the Bible the path of true godly living by faith. Trust in the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding. And in everything you do, acknowledge Him. This is the life of faith, the virtuous life of faith that is lived in trust of Jesus Christ, whom the book of Colossians tells us are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Bible tells us that Jesus has all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Proverbs tells us, trust in Him above all things. Rely on Him in every circumstance. In every activity you do, let it be done with Christ in view. In biblical thought, when the word heart is used, there's a lot more to it than we typically think. The heart is really the fountain of all wisdom. When we think of the word heart today, we probably associate it with our emotions and with our feelings. In the biblical thought, there was more to the concept than just that. It wasn't just your emotion, what you felt. The concept of the heart was also your mind, your thought, your wisdom. In the biblical view, the heart contains both of those elements. As the center of the body, it is the center of not only my feelings, but also my cognitions, also the wisdom that I have through Christ. The heart is the place where godly wisdom develops. So in this way, we see how the heart is connected with hearing. If we do not listen to God's word, our heart will not be in the right place. Therefore, we will not be able to apply wisdom in our lives. In our Bible lessons on day two, as we considered the heart, we looked at two individuals who were faced with similar circumstances but reacted completely different because of the status of their heart. The first individual was Jonah, who because of anger and resentment against God and the people of Nineveh, refused to heed God's call to go and preach repentance to that city, and instead deliberately went in the exact opposite direction to try to run from God's plan. And Jonah, in his foolishness, encountered a massive sea storm on the Mediterranean Sea, and as we know how the story goes, and what he became known for, was tossed overboard, swallowed by a giant fish, brought back in the right direction, and spit back onto the shore to finish his task before God. We all know the story of Jonah well. I didn't have to teach the story to our VBS kids. They know it. But when it comes to wisdom, do we make the connection? Jonah had a problem with his heart because he refused to listen to God's word. That's where the problem developed. And obviously God corrected Jonah and brought him back to the right spot, and the story ended with him preaching repentance and the people of Nineveh repenting. But look at the heartache and the anguish that Jonah had to go through to learn that lesson, because he didn't think of wisdom from the beginning. The second person that we looked at was the Apostle Paul, who, like Jonah, encountered a sea storm on the Mediterranean Sea, was listening to the call of God to go do a difficult task, and was faced with a circumstance beyond his control. But the difference between Paul and Jonah was that Paul's heart was in a different place. When Paul and his companions were in the middle of that storm in the Mediterranean Sea, and it was raging on for 14 days, they eventually realized that they had to abandon ship, and the captain of the ship wanted to execute all of the prisoners, Paul included. But in godly wisdom, Paul intervened on the prisoners' behalf and told the captain, "The Lord spoke to me and told me that not one person would perish on this journey. Do not do something rash." Paul's path was not any easier than Jonah's. But he reacted differently in the moment. He exercised wisdom in the moment because his heart was trusting in God, not his own way. Consider Jonah's story. He did not trust in the Lord with all his heart. He did not rely on the Lord for all things. He relied on his own understanding. He did not acknowledge the Lord, but he sought his own way instead. in our lives, we are placed in the same circumstance as Paul and Jonah when our faith is challenged. One of the elements of the Christian faith is the fact that our hope comes from God's faithfulness. That's the basis of the Proverbs passage. We tell ourselves to trust in the Lord with all our heart because our hope comes from God, not from ourselves. And that sounds good, especially on a Sunday morning like today. Yes, trust in the Lord with all our heart. Yes, do not rely on my own understanding. Yes, in all my ways acknowledge Him. But it becomes harder when our faith is challenged. When something that I want conflicts with what God wants. When a path that I've chosen for myself leads me down in the wrong direction from what the Lord's path is. The thing about it is, if we are to trust God above all things with all our heart, and if God is the one in control, then that means there are going to be things that we don't know. There are going to be questions that we have that are not answered right now. There are going to be plans that we have or plans that God would have us follow that we may not always know why. When we rely on the Lord alone, it means a personal sacrifice for ourselves. So from our perspective, by not following God by faith, we could have more control over our destiny in our minds. Jonah thought he did. Jonah thought he was in control. Jonah thought that he got to dictate everything, but he wasn't right, and he learned the lesson the hard way. Because at some point in life, no matter how much control we think we have, we will always encounter something beyond our control. It could be a storm on the sea. It could be imprisonment or persecution. It could be a great fish. It could be death itself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, because the idea of our personal control in life is an illusion. Only Jesus, who conquered every enemy in our place, can give us the hope to conquer any fear. And to trust in Him with all our heart is not to rely on our own understanding. The final 2 days of Vacation Bible School focused on wisdom in action, and we combined the blessed effect of hearing and the heart with what we say and what we do. We considered 3 passages, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord. And Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. It's not surprising to us that the book of Proverbs is listed with short passages of practical wisdom like these, and many more could be listed that teach the same thing. But isn't it sometimes that very simplicity that can trip us up? Isn't it sometimes that very simplicity that causes us not to listen as much to these things that we know are true? Obviously, we should honor God with what we say. Obviously, we should seek out wise friends and acquaintances that will be good for our faith. Obviously, every action that we do with our hands or feet should be done to God's glory. But how often do we do these things? This is where it helps for us to see examples in action in the Scriptures. This week, when we looked at applying wisdom through our words and our actions, we took a look at the children of Israel during the Exodus, how prone they were to complain against God, to complain against Moses, to blaspheme God with their words. The children of Israel had legitimate needs of body. There's stories about them needing food. There's stories about them needing water. There's stories about them needing protection. But instead of using their words to go to the Lord in prayer, to seek His power and His providence to offer something for them, they would whine and complain. Instead of taking their thoughts to the Lord in prayer, their choice of words was dictated by their hearts, wasn't it? Which was influenced by listening or not listening to the Word of God. In one example, as God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, the children of Israel were down at the base of the mountain, busy being impatient and not waiting upon the Lord's plan. And so they fashioned for themselves the golden calf, and they even had the audacity to say, "This calf is the God who rescued you from Egypt, the God who brought you out of slavery," even though later on the children of Israel would complain even about that, saying to Moses, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? We had food there. We had protection there." Truly, we see how destructive the tongue can be. As Proverbs tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue, in the power of the words that we give. But it's not just destruction, it's also life in the words that are spoken. And we see that come out in Israel's history too. Even though they were ungrateful, even though they were only focused on themselves at times, even though they did not honor and praise God with all of their words, God remained faithful to them. God forgave them. God did so through the words of his servant Moses, who time after time would intervene for the people before God and ask forgiveness and repentance, and God would bring them back. The lessons about human words and actions in relation to wisdom also have a way of bringing our focus back to Christ. When we see these examples of either foolishness or wisdom in the Bible, when we see how these short proverbs can be played out in people's lives, it's not just something for us to look at in the past, but something to apply our hearts for wisdom as well. That we see there are times in our lives when the Lord must lead us back to see our Savior more clearly in His Word. Our Savior who displayed the greatest wisdom in redeeming the fallen world. You want to talk about words and actions? Talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus who always spoke the truth, who always confirmed what the Word of God had said. Talk about Jesus who overexerted himself to show love and compassion to those even in spite of their unbelief. Talk about Jesus who even prayed for his own enemies at the time when they so unjustly crucified him on the cross. All of this wisdom contained in Jesus Christ is meant to bring us into greater view for our faith, into God's design for our salvation. You could talk about the Old Testament Israelites or Jonah or Paul, and those are snapshots in the past of how wisdom played out. But that also continues up to present day in our lives, as God's Word continues to work in our hearts to lead us on the path of true godly wisdom. And so one of the slides that we had for Vacation Bible School was that wisdom equals hearing and doing. The godly wisdom of faith in Jesus Christ is hearing the Word of God, receiving it in our hearts, and then letting that flow through in our lives. So we emphasize hearing and doing today because of one thing, though. It's not because these lessons motivate us to feel more threatened from God so that we'll do what is right. We can emphasize wisdom as hearing and doing because Jesus was successful, because he spoke the right thing in the right time, because he showed the holiest of actions by helping others and offering his own life in their place. The excellence of his wisdom in living out God's law for us, that's the basis of our hope and salvation. That's our confidence that when our life here on this earth ends, we will be with God in heaven. But it's also our confidence today that we can be practicers of godly wisdom in our lives right now. We can hear and do as Jesus did because he was successful, because we follow his example by faith. And so we can use our words, we can use our hands, we can use our feet to be his servants. In all these ways of wisdom, we see how God, just like the book of Proverbs, keeps it simple in his word. Each proverb is short and sweet. It's easy to remember. It's easy to read. But through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, connected to the rest of God's word, these proverbs also directly point us to the work of our Savior as the source of all wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 tells us that Christ has become for us wisdom from God, righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Thanks and praise be to God for this great blessing and gift, and may He use it by the blessing of the Holy Spirit in our lives to exercise that wisdom in our world today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.